This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Futuro.
I absolutely know that issues exist and they are cultural and they are baked into society. But that doesn't mean we don't have an obligation to try. That's what I'm doing. That's what we all have to do. And we have to do it together.
From Futuro Media and PRX, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, a conversation with Robert Santos, the first Latino to lead the U.S. Census Bureau. President Joe Biden announced last April that his intended nominee to lead the U.S. Census would be Robert Santos. Then, just a few weeks later, Santos went before the Senate Homeland Security Committee for his confirmation hearing.
It's an honor, and I'm humbled to appear before you today as the nominee for the director of the Census Bureau. I'd like to thank the President and Secretary Raimondo for the trust they have placed in me with this nomination.
Santos is super proud about being born and raised in the barrios of San Antonio, Texas. He has served as president of the American Statistical Association, vice president, and chief methodologist at the Urban Institute, along with other big roles throughout his career. Santos has more than 40 years of experience in survey research, and he specializes in quantitative and qualitative research design.
I wouldn't be here today without the enduring support of my family. At age 18, I married my wife, Adela, and we've now been married 48 years. She's my most important source of support, counsel, and love. Our two children, Emilio and Clarissa, always support me and are constant sources of comfort and pride.
During his confirmation hearing, Santos was asked about redistricting along with potential big challenges for the upcoming 2030 census. Santos was confirmed in November of 2021. A few months later, in January of this year, he was sworn in as the 26th director of the U.S. Census. And he is the first Latino to hold that position.
I, Robert Santos,
will support and defend.
Santos is no stranger to the U.S. Census. Before his nomination and confirmation, he warned in October of 2020 that former President Trump's interference with the census count could result in one of the most flawed census counts in history. Census counts are important because they help determine the number of seats each state has in the U.S. House of Representatives. It's also used to help allocate and distribute billions of federal dollars across local communities throughout the entire country. Trump wanted a question on the past census that asked for people's U.S. citizenship status.
Well, you need it for many reasons. Number one, you need it for Congress. You need it for Congress, for districting. You need it for appropriations. Citizenship has been on that thing most of the time for many, many years.
A citizenship question had not been on the census for several decades. And of course, citizenship status is not used for redistricting. And after several lawsuits, the Supreme Court ultimately blocked the citizenship question from being on the 2020 census. But the damage had already been done, and there was an even further gap in trust with communities across the United States. The weaponization of the U.S. Census isn't something new. We've seen it with the founding of this country when enslaved Africans were counted as 3/5 of a person, and later when Japanese Americans were imprisoned and tracked down by using the census. So on today's episode, I have a conversation with Director Robert Santos about his new role his love for his hometown of San Antonio, and the complicated history of the U.S. Census. Director Robert Santos, hello, and thank you so much for being with me here today on Latino USA.
I was ready to climb a ladder and do the interview upside down if I could have the opportunity to be a part of this experience with you, because I've always valued everything that you've done on your program.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. I'm having a moment. Did the director of the U.S. Census just say to me that he values the work that I've been doing and knows my work? I really am having a moment.
Every week we listen to your program and the job you're doing to help the United States understand the value of our rich diversity of Latinos, I think is amazing.
Thank you, Director Santos, for being a supporter of our work and knowing our work. It really means a lot. And I think I'm going to start there, because if I think about my experience as a Latina in the media over the last 30 years, I think that people always saw me kind of like, you know, like, oh, here she goes again, bringing up Latinos and Latinas. And I think, I mean, I'm not a big mathematician or a statistician like you, but I can read a demographic chart and I could see that the Latino population was just increasing. And so for a lot of my career, people have kind of been like, oh, God, here she comes talking about Latinos again. I always found it very interesting that people felt like it was a bother or a threat or a problem, instead of just like, no, but we're just kind of looking at data. And I'm wondering if you're kind of having that same sensation in your life right now.
Yeah, thank you for offering that perspective, because actually I've been having that type of interaction my entire career. I've had episode after episode where I was the sole Latino in a room of research decision makers who maybe hadn't realized that when they come to the table and they frame research questions or they perceive problems that they want to help, you know, society solve, they do it with their cultural lens. I've had many instances where I basically say, excuse me, if you do that, you actually will be doing harm and not good, even though the statistical design and the research design was pristine. However, if you frame the question the wrong way, or you capture information in a way that doesn't really reveal what's going on or interpret it by talking to people in the community to help get a better understanding, you can end up actually doing more harm than good.
And the other thing I need to know, Director Santos, I'm sorry, I just need to know. I know you used to have a ponytail. Do you still?
It's growing.
Órale!
I was asked to be considered for the nomination, and I decided to do it. I did it out of, you know, corazón. I wanted to help my country, and I believed I could offer something as a Latino from my rich perspective, cultural perspective, and research perspective. But the one thing that I decided is that I have to be myself. And myself is Santos with the ponytail. And so I'm going to be myself and try to do the best I can to help the Census Bureau, to help the American people. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, I tried.
I think it's really cool. I just want to say, because one, you're rocking it, it works. And two, I just think you're saying something about just having to be yourself, right? So recently I was in San Antonio. That's the city of where you were born and raised. I was at Trinity University giving a lecture. And, you know, I love San Antonio. It's one of my favorite cities because, one, I've been going to it ever since a little girl, because I was always driving through Texas to get from Chicago to Mexico. It's a majority Latino city in the United States, in the state of Texas. So yeah, not as a kid from San Antonio, but as somebody who understands the power of the work of the census and demography and the picture of the future of the United States. I mean, is San Antonio, in fact, the future of what the United States looks like? And what does that mean to you?
Well, there are many really interesting things about San Antonio. The fact that it has always had a very prominent place for Mexican Americans in particular, but Latinos more generally. as being part of the city. Yet when I was growing up, it was pretty effectively segregated. And even in some of the Latino communities, like, you know, I lived on the side of the Woodland Lake that, you know, wasn't considered the best part. And so if I went into the other side where there were folks were better off, I might be looked upon a little differently. But it's interesting that we've embraced the culture of the Mexican-American community in San Antonio.
I mean, I guess the reason why, one of the reasons why I keep on asking about San Antonio as a city of the future and what it looks like. And you're right. I mean, you get out of the airport in San Antonio, because I was just there, and there were these like huge artist representations of latas de chipotle, chiles chipotle, salsa herdez. And I was like, only in San Antonio will you see this. Like at the airport, it's, and all of this is like, we're talking about San Antonio and, you know, as it relates to a kind of city of the future with a kind of sense of joy and hope and laughter. But you know this, Director Santos, that actually the way the narrative goes right now in the United States today is that Latinos and Latinas pose some kind of a threat, that we're majority not from the United States, that we're coming here, that we're new. So put those two things together for me.
Well, it's not unusual for societies to have segments of the population that view individuals of different backgrounds to be threats, when in fact, it's very much of an opportunity. We could not survive without immigrants coming in and helping our economy in ways that otherwise the citizen population would not be able to contribute. So I very much value the diversity, and I think that's one of our strongest points as a nation. And that's why I take so much pride in being able to advance the measurement and the counting and the learning about the rich diversity of our population and how it's getting more diverse. It's inevitable, as you said, it's coming, and we need to find better ways to leverage and embrace that, so that it, because it's going to improve society. But I bring a different perspective, I think, to research and the Census Bureau and sort of research more generally, social science research. And I believe that you have to bring your whole self. So I believe in diversity, equity, inclusion. And I think in order to be a better scientist, a better mathematician, a better statistician, you need to bring your culture to the table when you talk about and think about research, about interpreting results, about how you analyze it, even how you frame what it is that you're going to look at. Because that way, you can actually learn more and gain more relevant insights into particular problems, whether it's hunger or housing or the pandemic and vaccination statuses or whatever.
Okay, so Director Santos, I actually want to take you back to those days when you were growing up as a kid in San Antonio. You were on the west side of the city. You said it was a very segregated city. And so you growing up, what was life like back then as a kid? Were you like, yeah, we're definitely the majority. We got this. We're going places. Or did you feel like, wow, this country's in the middle of a civil rights era. Latinos and Latinas were not necessarily visible. So what was it?
To be honest, I was a kid in the 60s. I was in elementary school and middle school, and I graduated in 72. And so I wasn't able until I was maybe in grad school at Michigan to really connect the dots fully, to realize the value and importance of being a Latino. And that's where, between my college and graduate school years, where I really embraced and understood the magnitude of the societal issues that we were dealing with. But back in when I was a kid, I was basically surviving. I was fortunate enough to go to parochial school for 12 years. That instilled some great values in me that I take with me and I use every day of my 40-year career, as well as now my continuing career at the Census Bureau. And those values of trying to help people, those values of being inclusive and treating people fairly and trying to help society. Those are really important, and they drive me, and they drive everything that I've done. You know, treating people with respect, regardless of race, color, creed, religion, or whatever.
So your mom and dad worked at the Air Force Base, right?
Yes, there were some very fortunate to have civil service positions at Kelly Air Force Base while it was open.
So this notion of I see you as my equal, a child of the civil rights era, where was that coming from? Was that your mom and dad bringing it home? And talk to me a little bit about having a mom and dad in the Air Force, because I mean, my dad was a scientist, medical doctor, researcher, but we didn't talk that stuff over dinner. But like your dad was asking you math questions. So take me a little bit back.
Yeah, it's interesting. We had a really tightly knit family, and everything circulated around familia. And because everything revolved around family, our focus was we didn't necessarily at the dinner table talk about the inequities of society as much as talked about familia and how we help each other and how we need to strive to get better education and get good jobs. I mean, that was what it was all about. And, you know, how could anyone blame familias for talking about that in San Antonio, who were Mexican-American and whose grandparents had fled because of the revolution, the violence in northern Mexico that was going on, to survive, and they started a new life and with almost nothing. And my grandparents, starting with jobs as gardeners or as cleaning people, we then grew, and generation after generation improved. And that pursuit of the American dream, that's really what was the focus of discussion. And me as a little kid with my brother, who's no longer with us, our focus was on trying to have as good of a time as we could, especially with my parents both being off to work and us being latchkey kids. So we got into all kinds of mischief.
Okay, well, I need to know what mischief looks like in West San Antonio then. Give me a couple of examples. What were you guys doing?
Well, it was mischief in the sense of, you know, we'd have, you know, mud ball fights in San Antonio where the back of the house was...
Mud ball.
We just, you know, throw water in the dirt, make mud balls and come at it. And the back of the house would be covered with mud balls that stuck to the side of the house. Or we'd grab our bicycles, and we were like, what, 8, 9, 10 years old? No, I'd say 10, 11, or 12. And then head off from Woodlawn Lake area to past downtown to Hemisphere, where it was being built so we could watch the tower going up. Or go out to the airport and watch the jets come in. I mean, that's really long distances for kids in the middle of the summer with no water. We just stop at gas stations. But we would do crazy, crazy stuff like that.
It's kind of incredible that kids get into all that mischief and survive, right? It's kind of amazing.
But what's really important, though, is if you combine that sense of adventure with the values that were instilled during the schooling that I had, it's those two things that have propelled me to take chances and risks where maybe other folks would not have done it. So pretty much in every job I've ever taken, it's been a step up, and I've said, oh my God, am I really going to be able to do this? And then I'd end up saying, well, look, just like I told you earlier, I'm going to try my best. I'm going to be myself. And if I can contribute, great. And if I can't, I'll be able to look myself in the mirror and say, I tried my best.
Coming up on Latino USA, Director Santos on rebuilding trust and facing the systemic problems at the census. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is an all-in-one management software with apps for every business need. Odoo has apps for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between, and they're all in one easy-to-use software. And the best part about Odoo? All Odoo apps are integrated, helping you get things done faster and more efficiently. So when you think about business, think Odoo. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds, Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds, Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, we're back. We're going to continue now with my conversation with Director of the U.S. Census Bureau, Robert Santos. The interesting thing, Director Santos, is that I have a lot of feelings about the census. With the census, it's actually something that has had an impact in my life in very interesting ways. And I kind of be honest with you, and I'm sure you're not going to be surprised when I'm like, it's kind of a love-hate relationship with the census. Mm-hmm. I think I remember as a little girl that Hispanic was a term that was created for the census by a Republican administration, and my family did not like the Republicans. So I was like, I'm not Hispanic. I'm not a term that was created. So the census has this kind of, again, this impact. In fact, in 2010, when I formed Futuro Media, my own company, one of the things that made me believe that I could do it was data from the census, right? The data was that the Latino population growth from 2000 to 2010 had grown at 43%. So the census is an organization that we, I think you too, have had a love-hate relationship with. Am I right? How do you see how the census has impacted your personal life? Were you that guy who was like thinking about the census like decades ago?
Actually, decades ago, I was, because I actually did projects for the census as a researcher. I served for 6 years on the advisory committee and said the same thing day one as I did 6 years later as I walked out the door in terms of advice. But I actually have not had a love-hate relationship. I've had a love-love relationship with the census my entire career, because I recognize—
Wait, love? Like, yes. I mean, you've been critical of it though, right?
Oh, because I love the Census Bureau.
Are you like really that person who's like, oh my God, I've always loved this? Are you that person?
I am, in the sense that I want it and we need it to improve and to be the best that it is. It's done some exceptionally great stuff in the past. All statistics have strengths and limitations. The limitations for decennial census historically have been ones where people of color are undercounted. That's an issue. I've been critical before the census, and now that I'm director, we're looking at that. And it's not like they don't look at it every, you know, day of our lives. We have experts who are trying their best to think of new creative ways to help with participation, et cetera. But I recognize that the data that the census provides is a vital part of our democracy. We can't improve communities, neighborhoods. We can't identify problems unless we can measure properly the state of the nation, who we are as a people. And it's in that context that I've always loved the Census Bureau, because I admire them doing the best that can be done, even though it's not perfection. Because
I mean, that's what I was going to say. Is it that you've been up at night, not now just because you're the director of the census, but that in the past, because the undercounting of in particular Latino, Latina, Latinx community, and frankly, and I know this is not a surprise to you, there's deep distrust now with any government institution in the United States. I mean, are those things that have kept you up at night, this whole notion of like the deep, deep undercounting that comes from one, I suppose, deep disorganization, but also deep distrust?
I'm not prepared to say it keeps me up at night as much as it's a core issue that we need to address for the future. We need to recognize its existence. There are mistrust issues that have been historical as well as more recent. And I would never have taken this job unless I thought I could help in that regard. So one of the primary agenda items for me or contributions that I want to make as director of the Census Bureau is to put a human face on the Census Bureau. We're not a bunch of mathematicians in our little offices thinking big thoughts. We're actually human beings. We all have cultures. We all have issues. We all are human in nature. And I'm bringing that because I think I'm going to outreach to communities, to neighborhoods, to stakeholders, to Congress, to local governments, to tribal communities. I want to get out there and I want to find out what those issues are with my staff. So the Census Bureau will be a part of all of that and establish a continuous relationship with people and with communities rather than simply 2 years before a census saying, okay, it's time for us to have partnerships. We recognize that we need to have this continuously, and I'm going to be up front and center trying to work with everyone to establish a true two-way relationship, not just to help us, you know, get participation, but also here is information that's useful for your specific community. Here are some tools you can use to identify community needs, to solve problems, to create more economic development. That's the type of two-way relationship that I really want to get.
Director Santos, the last administration and all of the controversy leading up to the 2020 census it's so polarized, and it forced people more into a place of darkness, I suppose, in regards to the census. So, I mean, you're trying to kind of, I don't want to say catch up, because you're actually trying to do something very futuristic, but you've got a lot of lead from the last administration and the last decades. I mean, that lead is, how do you deal with that lead that is weighing you down, which is part historical and, you know, systemic?
I do not view this as an issue of, oh my God, look what's happened in the past. I view it as, where do we need to get into the future, and how do we need to address these types of issues? So I'm looking forward, because one of the greatest attributes and strengths of the Census Bureau is that it is a nonpartisan federal statistical agency. So I'll say it again, it's a nonpartisan federal statistical agency, which is the only reason that I was willing to join, because the notion of scientific integrity, objectivity is something, and transparency. Not many organizations want to reveal like the good and the bad and the ugly about everything we do. We put that up front because that's part of our job. The American people deserve to hear and to see the strengths and limitations of all of our data products. And it's because of that scientific integrity and our nonpartisan nature that I think we have a really good starting point to take wherever we are right now and move forward and create really great ties to communities and great things. And that's what I'm going to be doing. And I know that that's what the rest of the Census Bureau is going to be doing as well.
Your excitement about being at the census is clear. Like, we can feel it. We absolutely can feel it. I can see it. So I want to zoom out for a bit, because when I think about the census, I think the other word that comes to mind is white supremacy and systemic racism, and how that is a part of the institution. We have to acknowledge how people in this country were first counted, right? Enslaved Black people were basically counted only as 3/5 of a human being, and areas with large enslaved populations benefited from this in terms of federal funding and political power and representation. So again, your excitement to be at the census, but the question I'm going to ask you is, well, should the census be dismantled? Should it be reassembled? How do we deal with the fact that, you know, close to 4 out of the 5 senior executives at the Bureau identify as white, according to an NPR study from last year? So you're dealing with your big dreams in a powerful institution, but one that has, in this case, issues of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you know, pundits and others can characterize the Census Bureau as they might. I do know that because of things like the pandemic, we are at a wonderful inflection point where we understand the value of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And everyone I've spoken to wants to make progress in this regard, including myself. I think that it would be naive to think that any government or any society does not have issues with them with regard to historical, you know, racism and things of that sort. But in terms of where we go from now, by leveraging this diversity, equity, and inclusion principles, we are recognizing the value not only for creating a more diverse workforce within the Census Bureau, but also questioning every single thing we do with regard to what we measure it, how relevant it is, and not only that, when we produce it, how valuable it is based on community engagement and getting folks' reaction to results and things of that sort. So I'm very much, you know, I am absolutely not a Pollyanna. I absolutely know that issues exist and they are cultural and they are baked into society. But that doesn't mean we don't have an obligation to try. That's what I'm doing. That's what we all have to do. And we have to do it together. And we need each other's support.
Director Santos, forgive me that I should know the answer to this question, but I don't. Has the census apologized for the fact that the data from the census was used to inter, i.e. imprison, American citizens of Japanese descent, and that they were targeted because of the use of the census data? Has there been a formal apology that I just didn't know about?
Yeah, thank you for asking. That's a really, really important question. Ken Pruitt actually, years back, apologized formally to representatives of the Japanese community.
So how do we, because you know this as well, in our community, especially after the last administration, the previous administration, in particular, Latinos and Latinas and building this trust, and immigrants and refugees, undocumented people, how do you rebuild the trust? And I know I get the whole, like, we are the census, we are you, but I mean, you also deal with hard facts. You also want to deal with the humanizing of it. How do you create trust in an institution that is so large and that has this past history? And I know, well, you want to look at the future. So in the future, how do you want to create that trust?
And we are already taking steps in that direction. It is critical that we engage with the public, we engage in local communities, we engage with people of color and communities of color in their various manifestations, whether it's through with Nanleo or MALDEF or the Asian American associations that look out for those interests. It's really important to have those types of conversations that are continuous. And it's through having those conversations and demonstrating that their concerns matter by incorporating those into actions we take in the future, through that loop and through us demonstrating with hard data that we can help their communities and all communities, I think we will build trust.
And what are we going to do, or what are you going to do with the fact that there's an acknowledgement of a pretty severe undercount that happen particularly in Black, Latino, Latina, Latinx communities.
Mm-hmm.
What's your plan? You again, if you're like, well, we can't deal with what happened in the past, that's already happened. But what is the plan, like a very specific plan?
And we're in the midst of forming plans for the 2030 census, but please be aware that the plans for increasing participation and representation in the data collections that we do are spread to all of the 130 or so surveys that we do every year, as well as our economic censuses that are coming up. Then Latinos and African Americans have local businesses and such. So we're looking to do that.
So again, I love the fact that I have these very specific reactions about the census when every year, every decade, you know, when I have to deal with this. But the term Hispanic, the term Latino, Latina, Latinx, you know, Afro-Latinidad, indigenous selves. I mean, every time I look at the census, I'm like, but I'm not here. The boxes, which box, which checking of the box. I'm sure you felt this way too. So what's your plan to kind of make the census, like, read the room, understand the United States that it's actually living in? Because it feels like it's the census, again, of the white men from the 1950s that were kind of creating the paradigms, and the paradigms have all shifted.
That is a wonderful starting point for this notion that society has tangibly changed over the last 20, 30, 40 years, where people are understanding and embracing different cultures and ancestries. And an organization like the Census Bureau, and more broadly, the federal statistical system, because there's lots of other groups in the federal government that collect data, need to understand and be contemporary with the way that people identify themselves. And our notions of who we are, especially with multi-race couples and children and multi-ethnic couples and children, people are just becoming more aware of who they are. And when they do that, they think of themselves differently. And so using standards like the ones we currently have that were developed in 1997 aren't necessarily the best ones to capture the rich diversity of our wonderful population right now. We are at the Census Bureau don't have the authority to simply change race ethnicity questions. It needs to go through a process by the federal government to update the standards. And we are actively working with the Office of Management and Budget, which is part of the White House. They're the group that creates and revises standards. And our understanding is that that process with regard to race, ethnicity, as well as with regard to SOGI questions, sexual orientation and gender identity, those discussions will be commencing soon. And we have existing research that we've already done, as well as ideas on how to go forward to better capture that rich diversity and the disaggregation of Latinos, disaggregation of whites, disaggregation African-Americans, Asians, tribal communities, and so forth.
I remember when I started hearing that term disaggregation. So just so people get it, can you just define what disaggregation means? Because I think while you're the head of the census, people will be hearing that word a lot more.
Yeah, forgive me. I like to pride myself as being someone who can speak more clearly to the public. I bust out the term disaggregation, and it's an industry term. Disaggregation really is very basic. Latinos are not a monolithic population. We're lumped together as a group of different groups of a set of peoples. They're Cubanos, you know, folks from Dominican, Mexicans, even, you know, Central and South America, and so forth, and Puerto Ricans. And it's important to be able to understand those differences, because different communities can have different mixes of a specific type of Latino, not to mention you bring in immigrant status as well. And that will trigger notions of what types of community needs there are, how to better address issues like, you know, how do we convince folks to take vaccines? How do we get folks to register to vote? How do we get folks to understand the value of fruits and vegetables for a more nutritious meal, even though they may not have a livable wage to, you know, to buy those types of products? So we really need to understand the rich diversity, and that's what disaggregation means.
I think part of what you're trying to do is, as you say, you want you and your whole staff to bring their entire selves into the Census Bureau, because that ultimately will lead to a better Census Bureau. You have actually, and you talk a lot about equity and inclusion, and you've actually taken some steps. So what are you doing in terms of your own staff and that diversity, representation, and inclusion?
Well, on the staff that I work with directly, there is actually a incredibly rich diversity of Latinos, of African Americans, of white individuals from different backgrounds. We have efforts to transform and modernize the Census Bureau because we absolutely need it in order to survive in the future. And part of that is making sure that we do things like review all of our policies and practices for two things. One is to make sure they are equitable. And my guess is that most, if not all, will end up being equitable, but we got to do our due diligence. And the second is the practice. It's policies and practice. You can have an equitable policy, but if it's not implemented in the right way, you may as well not have the policy, you know, altogether. We're also looking in a very honed way at assembling data from different sources in ways that can facilitate a better understanding of community from an equity lens.
All right. Well, you've been able to tell us a lot about, you know, kind of your work right now, but we do know that there will be a finite period of time in which you serve as the director of the census. And I can tell, with all due respect, that you're a little bit of a nerd. Am I right?
Yes, I confess.
So what do you want the legacy, your legacy? You're the first Latino to lead the census. You're the first man with a ponytail that we know of in the modern ages. So what do you want your legacy to be?
It's interesting. People keep asking me that, and I keep telling them I am not that type of leader. I don't want to leave the Census Bureau and folks say, well, Rob did X, Rob did Y, and Rob did Z. I would much rather, because of who I am and my belief in how I lead, to enable all kinds of staff to do great things, and then to help them find the resources to be innovative, to tangibly demonstrate what it means to live in an equitable work environment. So my legacy, if you look at it in that sense, isn't going to be an accomplishment as much as a driver to allow people to become excellent in the context of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that's what my legacy to be. I helped people do their job better.
Well, Director Roberto Santos, thank you so much for joining me on Latino USA.
It was an absolute honor, Maria, and thank you very much for this opportunity to let folks know who I am.
Since my conversation with Director Santos, the White House Office of Management and Budget announced that it has started a formal review in order to revise the race and ethnicity classifications. It uses these to collect data across federal agencies to, quote, better reflect the diversity of the American people, end quote. These classifications have not been revised since 1997. This episode was produced by Reynaldo Leaños Jr. and edited by Julio Ricardo Varela. It was mixed by Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. The Latino USA team includes Andrea Lopez Cruzado, Marta Martinez, Daisy Contreras, Mike Sargent, Julieta Martinelli, Victoria Estrada, Alejandra Salazar, Patricia Zurbarán, and Julia Rocha, with help from Raúl Pérez. Our associate engineers are Gabriela Baez and JJ Carubin. Our marketing manager is Luis Luna. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. I'm your host and executive producer, María Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And remember, no te vayas. And I'll see you on all of our social media. Hasta la próxima. Chao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by W.K. Kellogg Foundation, a partner with communities, where children come first. The Heising Simons Foundation, unlocking knowledge, opportunity, and possibilities. More at hsfoundation.org. And the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
And by the way, I hear you're a big griller and you love to barbecue. And I'm like, okay, I want to be invited to that barbecue, Director Santos, okay? That's the barbecue I want to be invited to, yours.
Your open invitation.
Tejano San Antonio barbecue. But anyway,